It wasn't so long ago that unlocking the human genome was talked about in almost futuristic science fiction terms. But now the genomics revolution is well and truly upon us. DNA testing is transforming healthcare and giving patients precise information, leading to better, more personalised treatments. But this technology is not without its complications, its costs, or its ethical challenges. And a public forum in Melbourne tonight will look at some of those issues and the potential for this technology into the future. Joining me to talk about all of these issues in this new frontier of medicine is Professor Clara Gaff from Melbourne Genomics and Gillian Hastings Ward, who was a participant of the 100,000 Genomes Project in the United Kingdom. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Gillian, if I can start with you, you've really been at the pointy end of genomics. How did it come into your life and what has it meant for you and your family?
It's meant a huge amount for us. My son is now 5 and a half, but and when he was born, we thought he was a fairly perfect child. But by the time he was 2 months old, we realised that he wasn't actually seeing anything. And by the time he was one, it was apparent that he had quite significant developmental delays as well.
So when this emerged and this became clear to you, what put you on the pathway to genomics?
Well, the NHS in England is fantastic at looking after people using a very wide range of existing tests, but we had all the tests that were available at the time and they all came back negative. So when we were offered the opportunity to join the 100,000 Genomes Project, we leapt at the chance to have our genome sequenced as a trio, myself, my husband and my son, in the hope that that would tell us what was really wrong with him.
You have multiple roles with the Genomes Project in the UK. As this project has developed, what issues have come up and how have they been resolved?
I think it's been very interesting to see how a lot of families in Britain who have an undiagnosed child have been very willing to share their genomic footprint, to share their genomic data with the project, and that is then matched with their whole life health records in search of answers for them. I think perhaps that means we're a population who are more inclined to be willing to share that data. But I feel that it's been very well looked after and Genomics England have worked hard to retain our trust by listening to what patients really want.
Were you apprehensive at the start?
For us, it was the last show in town, so it was a fairly straightforward decision. But I think other people have had their fears reassured that it's something which is okay because of the data protection provisions that there have been put in place.
Professor Clara Gaff, you're from Melbourne Genomics. What does your organisation do and how does it fit into the bigger picture of genomics in Australia?
So Melbourne Genomics is a collaboration of 10 Victorian organisations working together to get genomics from research into the healthcare system. We've got about 500 health professionals involved across the program and we've conducted 16 different clinical projects to really look at when and how genomics can make a difference to patients with cancer, with kidney disease, with neurological conditions, deafness, even superbugs.
Where is Australia at with its genomics programs and where does it sit in the healthcare system in terms of, you know, the way it fits into the broader healthcare system?
At the moment, these tests aren't generally available. Governments around the world and people around the world are trying to work out how this can be used well in healthcare. We, like others, really want this test to be more available to patients who benefit. The evidence in our work is showing when and where patients will benefit.
Well, give me some examples, concrete examples of how that can benefit.
Yeah, so in one of the projects we conducted, genomic testing was provided to babies in intensive care that thought to have rare diseases. So they were getting testing very early and very rapidly, much more rapidly than usual. We're able to show that making that test rapid made a real difference to the management of those patients and the care. It was life-saving in some situations.
So in Australia, how does a family, like you gave an example there with a sick baby or a child, get funneled into the system? Is there a experience, you say it's not widely available, so what do you do if you think, like you did, I need this chance, I need to do this?
I guess that's what we're working on at the moment. We're keen to work on making sure that this test is available equitably through the healthcare system.
And how far off are we from that becoming a reality? That's the hope. But where are we now?
I think at the moment we're working out how that can happen. It needs to be done well and efficiently. And so I think that's why we've been showing the when and who of genomic testing. The next challenge is how can this be done? And I think that the program to date has been about 4 years long. I think probably another 3 or 4 years at the most will be in that be able to do that.
And you need some enthusiasm from government and governments. Do you feel like you're getting that kind of backing?
We've been well supported in our current program by the Victorian government. They invested $25 million and our members invested a further $10 million. We're just in the final stage, final year, months of our current program. And so our next challenge is now looking at how we can move these benefits more broadly across the Victorian health system.
Gillian Hastings Ward, from a patient's perspective or a family perspective, is in an ideal world, what systems should be in place around the process of the testing and the diagnosis and what happens after that?
I think it's important to recognise that a genomic test result can have massive implications for not only the family who are here right now, but the family members in the future and also other wider members of the family. So that definitely creates a demand for some form of genetic counselling before people agree to have this kind of test. And I know that Clara is a professional in that field and brings her great skill to the project. So there's an importance for support of the families at the pre-decision stage. During the testing process, it's helpful if they can understand how long it might be before they get an answer and what kind of answer is coming. There's a lot that genomics could tell you so far, but there's still a lot that is yet to be discovered. And the impression that some people have that genomic sequencing is going to tell them absolutely everything immediately is perhaps an expectation that we have to tone down a bit.
Professor Gaff, what is the counselling part of that equation? How does that look, or how do we do it here?
So genetic counsellors, and happy Genetic Counsellor Day to all my colleagues.
Is it? There
yes,
you go.
It is.
Who would have thunk it?
So it's really ensuring that people have realistic expectations of what the testing is, but also consider the implications. When these tests are being done for somebody with rare disease, that can have implications for other family members if it's a change that's found to be inherited through the family member, through the family.
You mentioned the word equity before and making this something that is accessible to more Australians. Mm. Do we have all the expertise in Australia for the tests, or do people need to send samples overseas? Who, I think, costs here? Who's paying for this?
We do have the expertise in Australia. There are very skilled laboratories in Victoria and around Australia, and pricing is a challenge at times when there's competitive pricing from overseas. In Melbourne Genomics, we made sure that all of our testing was done in laboratories locally, which really ensured quality and means that the data stays locally. That's also meant that if a patient didn't get a diagnosis, that data could be reanalysed, and as new knowledge emerges, more is understood about the genes. And we've had a number of people get diagnoses 18 months, 2 years down the track through reanalysis of that data that was kept locally.
Gillian, how do you think the UK experience can inform the way we do things here in Australia?
Well, our project started off as a much larger scale project. So we sequenced 100,000 genomes from the off compared to Clara's 3,800. And that has been able to demonstrate the value of doing this. Obviously, it's still a relatively small proportion of the potential patients who could be served by this. And so I think we've demonstrated the utility of running a pilot prior to rolling this out into mainstream healthcare.
Professor Gaff, the issue of funding must surely be the pressing one then. I mean, you've certainly raised my concerns about it, about the equity question. Well, that's the biggest part of this, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually feel quite optimistic that we've made such progress, that we've moved from a situation of people speculating about what the difference genomics might make to actually having evidence that it makes a difference to patients, that it can actually improve the use of healthcare dollars by stopping patients having unnecessary, expensive, and sometimes quite painful investigations, and by making sure that the treatments that they're going to get are beneficial rather than having unnecessary treatments because the diagnosis just isn't precise enough. The evidence that we've collected from some of our early work has been used by a national study, Australian Genomics, as part of an application to the Medical Services Advisory Committee, who have recommended that there should be a Medicare item number for this testing. So I actually feel that we're at a point in time that's very actually optimistic.
Yeah, a turning point, perhaps.
A turning point, yes.
Gillian, just finally to you, how transformative has this been for you and your family?
Well, for us, it's brought an end to our diagnostic odyssey. We have identified which gene is causing the problems for my son, and that's enabled us to join up with a worldwide network of other families in the same position. We're now working with researchers and scientists around the world to try and identify what we can do next to develop treatments and ultimately a cure.
Thank you to both of you for coming in. You know, the work you're doing is fascinating, and your personal story certainly explained how this looks for real in real people's lives rather than just this, you know, difficult medical conversation we often have. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Joining me tonight, Professor Clara Gaff from Melbourne Genomics and Gillian Hastings Ward, who was a participant of the 100,000 Genomes Project in the United Kingdom. And this is RN Drive.